Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Let's pray before we go into our message. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is our fortress, our salvation, our glory, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, that for all who believe, Lord, we know him relationally. We know him in faith and love and hope, Lord. And we thank you that we know your Son, Jesus, and your Son, Jesus, knows us. So that on the day when the bridegroom returns, Lord, we will not be as those who are caught off guard, as those who do not really know who you are and therefore cannot rejoice, but we will be as those who have known you for years, ever since we were born again and have been given the gift of faith and repentance. And we will rejoice. Our joy will be ignited, Lord, by the fuel of faith and hope and love and longing. And so we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you would make known to us now your truth by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would heed your truth alone. In Jesus' name we pray. You may have heard about inter-Korean family reunions that are organized by the Red Cross, in which parents and siblings and spouses and relatives who are separated as a result of the Korean War and who haven't seen each other for many, many decades are temporarily reunited in Mount Geumgang in North Korea. Sorry if I mispronounced that incorrectly, just phonetically reading it there. Mount Geumgang, sorry, I knew I said something wrong there. Mount Geumgang in North Korea. And when watching footage of these reunions, you can witness very moving scenes of tear-filled joy, of people seeing their family members again, joy that is ignited by the fuel of many long decades of yearning, hope, prayers, concern, thoughts, and most of all, heartbroken love centered on their long lost loved ones. I encourage you, all of us, to check it out when we can. There's a lot of footage on YouTube and elsewhere on the internet. It's very moving. But on the other hand, just imagine if the Red Cross were to bring together not long-lost family members, but total strangers from the north and the south of the Korean Peninsula. It would look a lot different. There wouldn't be those scenes of joy. See, because for total strangers, there is nothing within them to ignite into joy upon seeing one another. There is nothing within them to ignite their joy. See, this illustration helps us to understand this parable taught by Jesus in our passage for today. See, because one day, at an undisclosed time, only known by the Heavenly Father, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, will return to his church. And when he does, there will be some within the church whose years of faith, hope, and love towards him will ignite into blazing, radiant joy and welcome. But on the other hand, for others, there will be nothing but a caught off guard sense of trepidation, dismay, and panic. Why? Because there is nothing within them to fuel the kind of joy present in the others. And so our passage calls those within the church that have this reserve of relational depth as wise. This reserve of faith, hope, and love towards Jesus within them, ready to be ignited into joy at the sight of his coming. But on the other hand, the parable calls those within the church who have never developed such a reserve within them as foolish. Foolish. And this brings us to our first point of the message. Be filled with the oil of faith, because this is what distinguishes between the foolish and the wise within the church. And so let's read again from verse 1 to verse 4. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. So Jesus' parable introduces us to 10 virgins. 5 are described as wise, and 5 are described as foolish. And all of them possessed lamps. All of them were appointed to the same role of welcoming and honoring the bridegroom with their burning lamps. See, from the outside, these virgins were indistinguishable from each other. These are the deacons, the elders, the pastors, the choir members, the Sunday school teachers, and congregation members of the church. They are all appointed to welcome and glorify the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, when he comes. And as the bridegroom was delayed in his arrival, we read in our passage that all of the virgins, both wise and foolish, became drowsy and slept. Both wise and foolish became drowsy and slept. In other words, as they waited and waited and waited for the coming of the bridegroom, they eventually became inert. They became inert in their role as the welcoming party for the bridegroom. See, that describes the church, doesn't it? As professing believers in the church, we have become inert in that special role that we have been appointed to as those who are to welcome, honor, and rejoice in the bridegroom Jesus when he comes, as we wait and wait and wait. See, it's on the back burner of our minds as present-day concerns take the front and center of our attention. This is true for everyone. concerns about our work, families, ministry to his church. See, the ordinary pattern of working, eating, serving, and resting takes prominence in our lives, while Jesus' imminent return fades to the backdrop. Again, this applies to both the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. See, it is in this sense that we slumber in our role as virgins, appointed to welcome the bridegroom Jesus Christ when he comes. It's not on the forefront of our attention, it's kind of simmering on the back burner of our minds, become inert, slumbering. But one day, according to our passage, on a day and hour we do not know, Jesus will suddenly return as the bridegroom coming for his bride. And at that time, the wise virgins of the church will light their lamps ablaze, shining with joy, adoration, thanksgiving, and praise, fueled by the oil of long-suffering faith, patient hope, and yearning love towards Jesus Christ. But in contrast, the picture will be very different for the foolish virgins of the church. See, they won't be able to welcome the bridegroom with that blazing light of joy, adoration, thanksgiving, and praise. Why? Because they have no oil within themselves. They have no oil within themselves to ignite and fuel that kind of response at the sight of his arrival. Their lamps are empty. They have no oil to burn in welcome. The presence of oil to fuel jubilant welcome of the bridegroom is what will distinguish between the wise virgins of the church and the foolish virgins of the church on the day of Christ Jesus' coming. Which brings us to our second point. Be filled with the oil of faith, because this is what will fuel our joy in the bridegroom. As we read from verse 5 to the end of the parable. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You see, the foolish virgins of the church have no love for Jesus stored up in their lamps to ignite into jubilant rejoicing at the sight of his coming. The foolish virgins of the church have no faith in Jesus stored up to ignite into an overflow of thanksgiving at the sight of his coming. The foolish virgins of the church have no hope in Jesus and his promises stored up to ignite into exultant praise at the sight of his coming. Simply put, the foolish virgins stored up no oil for their lamps of welcome. And we read in Jesus' parable that the foolish virgins ask the wise virgins for some of their oil, to which the wise virgins respond in verse 9, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." See, the wise virgins refuse to share their oil with the foolish virgins because they can't share their oil. They can't. Everyone's relationship to Jesus is their own. And only their own. There is no such thing as vicarious faith in Jesus Christ. It's experienced directly or not at all. And the fact that a person has a long family history of devout faith in Christ Jesus will be completely irrelevant and meaningless on the day of Christ Jesus. A person either knows and trusts Christ Jesus directly and personally or knows and trusts Him not at all. So the wise virgins direct the foolish virgins to the dealers of oil. The dealers of oil who are the sources from which they may acquire oil to fuel their joy in Christ Jesus. See, these are the testimonies of great men and women of God. The writings that have been preserved throughout the ages, throughout the history of the church, the sermons that have been preached throughout the ages, which expound and clarify the holy scriptures of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which explain and clarify the reason for joy, the reason for joy for all who believe. These are the dealers of oil. And the wise virgins direct the foolish virgins to go to the dealers of oil. And so off they go, the foolish virgins, with the light of the world, Jesus Himself, dawning on the horizon, His glory shining on every mountain, valley, highway, back road, village, town, and city. Off they go to rummage. Rummage through the dealers of oils, rummage through the writings, rummage through the testimonies, attempting to cram in a panic moment the oil which they had a lifetime to acquire and store up for themselves. And of course, we read in our parable, it's all in vain. We read in the conclusion of Jesus' parable, it's all in vain. Because the time to seek Him by then has passed. Read in Psalm 32:6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach Him. Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Do not be a foolish virgin. Most of us have spent years or even decades in Christ Jesus' church. Do not be a foolish virgin by fixating on things of secondary importance, peripheral importance in the church, while being carelessly inattentive to things of eternal importance. No one will be fretting about their snubbed honor or injured pride in the community of the church when Jesus returns. No one. No one will be obsessing over how much influence they exercise over the congregation of the church when Jesus returns. No one. No one will be engrossed in tidbits of gossip surrounding this person or that person when Jesus returns. No one will be occupied drawing people into their own personal circles of influence and forming their own little social factions when Jesus returns. No one will be bitter or angry about the degree to which the culture of the church conforms to the latest Christian trends when Jesus returns. All that will matter when the bridegroom Jesus Christ returns is whether we will be rejoicing at His coming or not. All that will matter is whether we are able to join with the angels in praising Him with thrilled, jubilant hearts, or whether we will fall into a sense of surprise, panic, and even dread. And whether the former description or the latter description applies to us will be determined by whether we have within us oil to ignite into the flames of joyous welcome or not. Do we have the oil of faith in Christ Jesus that will ignite into thanksgiving at the sight of His coming? The good test for that, by the way, is to imagine He were to come right now. How would your heart instinctively feel right now if He were to come? That's a good test of whether the oil of faith is within us or not. Do we have the oil of hope in Christ Jesus that will ignite into praise at the sight of His coming? Do we have the oil of love towards Christ Jesus that will ignite into joy at the sight of His coming? Is knowing the person of Jesus, and I don't just mean knowing theoretical facts about Jesus, I mean, is knowing the person of Jesus relationally, in the glory of His redeeming grace, the great focal point of our attention as members of His church? Is plumbing the depths of His love towards His people in order to stir up our love towards Him and His body the great passion of our hearts as congregants of His church? Is beholding the radiance of our God revealed in Jesus for our transforming to His likeness the great subject of our thoughts as those who partake in the communion table within His church? Point number three, be filled with the oil of faith, because this gives meaning and significance to our sufferings. So I'd like to conclude today's message with a word of encouragement found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. This is what we read. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. You might remember from a couple Sundays ago, David's Psalm, Psalm 62, verse 6 to 7. We had looked at it. Just to refresh our memories, we read, He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Maybe for some of us, the Lord has been disciplining us. He's been disciplining us, and it's painful. He's been disciplining us by demonstrating to us the untrustworthiness of the earthly foundations on which we have rested our glory. He's been disciplining us by demonstrating how untrustworthy those earthly foundations are on which we are resting our glory. What do we rest our glory on? What is the foundation of what we believe makes us special, outstanding even? On what do we rest our glory? The Lord has been disciplining us by demonstrating to us the untrustworthiness of those earthly foundations, these earthly fortresses in which we have taken refuge. Maybe in recent times, we've witnessed foundation after foundation crumbling to dust. The esteem of our friends, the esteem of our family even, the esteem of those who we once considered our closest confidants, crumbling to dust. The advancement of our career paths along the road of obvious success and progress, attaining the kind of smooth, comfortable, indulgent lifestyles that our peers seem to be enjoying in spades, crumbling to dust. He has caused them to crumble one after another in order to discipline us, in order to train us to rest our glory only on the reliable, trustworthy, unchanging foundation of His esteem in Christ Jesus, His love in Christ Jesus, and His promises in Christ Jesus. He is training us to take refuge only in what He has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus, not our accomplishments, because that is the only refuge that stands the test of time and adversity. He has caused all these foundations to crumble so that we would realize the true, enduring stability, security, and peace of resting our glory on the foundation of His salvation in Christ Jesus. He has brought about these painful disappointments in order to make His value and worth much more real to us. And maybe for some of us, it doesn't describe us currently, but we can think back at a time in our life, a season in our life, where these painful crumblings happened one after another, and we think back, and yes, it was so painful, but we also think back with joy on that season, because it was during that season we were taught in our life experience to rest our glory on the only reliable foundation of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that true for those of us who've experienced seasons of discipline? Isn't that true of us? But for some of us, we're in that season right now. And as we experience this discipline, His healing, His restored hope, His lasting peace, we are now in the process of gaining in the actuality of our lives. We are now in the process of gaining in Christ Jesus as a result of the accumulation of these painful forms of discipline. Will one day be the oil that will ignite into the flames of overjoyed welcome, adoration, and thanksgiving towards the Bridegroom, Jesus Christ, when He at last comes back for His bride, the church. Word of encouragement, if that season describes us, it is storing up within us oil that will erupt in blazing light, the blazing light of joy, adoration, completion, fulfillment, at last, when Jesus Christ returns. So be encouraged, be strengthened. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that this truth of your words would take root in our hearts, and let my words be heeded only insofar as it is in keeping with your truth. And for that which was extraneous or irrelevant or misleading, well then I pray, Lord, that for all who are your people who are in Christ Jesus, may it just slip from their minds because it doesn't matter. But insofar as what was spoken was in keeping with your truth, let it take root. Let your word take root, and your word alone. In Jesus' name we pray.